From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Diversify holding on to the lead. Keen Ice on the outside and Pavel trying to run him down. Diversify digs in. Keen Ice on the outside and Pavel can't get him. Diversify has won the Jockey Club Gold Cup.
And the whip coming out here from Edgar Pardo, just a tap there on Miss Temple City. And she comes to the front. And the decorated Grade 1 winner's got the lead from Zepessa. Zepessa stretching her. But Miss Temple City, her class prevails. And she wins the Kentucky Downs Ladies Turf.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Mumtahij is the leader. Win the space, Midnight Storm, Cupid battling home. But Mumtahij is a globalized class act. He wins the awesome again.
Mike Smith getting all from West Coast as he clings to the lead from Gunavera. IRAP is third on the inside. Taprit is fourth. It is West Coast, and he keeps on rolling. And West Coast goes wire to wire in the Travers.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Hello again, everyone. Good morning, and welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, the Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld. We are side by side in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios, and happy to have you with us on this Saturday morning. Jimmy Johns is freaky fast, freaky good, and I'm sure you could say the same thing about many of the horses we'll see at Del Mar next Friday and Saturday for the Breeders' Cup World Championships. The pre-entries have been taken. 187 horses pre-entered this past Monday. Nine previous Breeders' Cup winners among those 187 pre-entries, including defending champion Arrowgate in the Classic, and should be an amazing Breeders' Cup, and we're happy to be able to bring it your way again this year on HRN. All that coverage coming your way Friday and Saturday, presented by visitbarbados.org, and you will hear it right here on this very same Sirius XM channel, Sirius 219, XM 206, on affiliates across the country and worldwide on our website at horseracingradio.net. JT, pre-entries in the books, and looking ahead to the actual entries, which will be taken early next week, and post positions assigned, morning line odds will be set, and we'll be ready to roll for the Breeders' Cup.
No, I'm already ready to roll. I don't need all that stuff.
No, you got it all figured out?
I got it all figured out.
Really?
Yes. I've been working on it for weeks.
Dialed in.
Yes. I've got it.
Locked in, as they say.
Locked and loaded.
Yeah? A lot of value upsets, as we typically see, or do you think it's a more chalky type of Breeders' Cup?
I think it's going to be a mix. I mean, there's always a mix. But I've had some revelations as I've been handicapping and writing up parts of Pope Jude and doing different bits of research. So it's going to be a good cup. I think there's a lot of races that, you know, you can narrow down to five or six horses rather easily.
Really?
You know, then it takes it from there. I mean, I think there's some horses that don't belong, but there's always those horses.
Yep.
You know, that people enter, and sometimes I wonder why.
Yeah.
You know, I give the trainers credit that pass and say, you know, we'll try next year. We've got a better spot here or there. I think that's a wise thing to do.
Yeah. A record 46 entrants coming from overseas this year, too, which has added an extra layer of intrigue to this year's Breeders' Cup. Your thoughts on the Europeans coming in record numbers?
A nice bunch of Euros. Yeah. Josh Christian from the Breeders' Cup, that's his department. And boy, did he do a good job this year. There's a lot of nice European horses coming, some of them at the top of their game and some of them not. But, you know, once you get to Del Mar, a lot of horses perk up. I know I'm going to perk up. You get those negative ions in the air next to the ocean. You start feeling good. It's great for old horses and old handicappers.
How about that racetrack for horses that have never set foot on it, as opposed to the horses that have raced there at Del Mar before and been successful? Is there an advantage, a home court advantage, with a racetrack such as Del Mar, maybe even more than what we've seen at other racetracks?
I had one of our HRN fans send me an email and ask me about how the Euros would handle the course. And
yeah.
I feel like the Euros have always done well at Del Mar. People, you know, spend a lot of time and money trying to buy horses for the Del Mar Oaks and the Del Mar Derby during the summer. They're on the lookout all year long. for those kind of 3 year olds, and
yep.
and they usually perform well. The ones that people buy, I mean, you have to spend a pretty penny to get a horse that's, you know, going to be a major contender in either one of those races. But I think the Euros like it. I think as I contemplated that question, a lot of people don't realize that many of the racetracks in Europe are close to the ocean. You know, first of all, we've got, you know, Great Britain is an island,
right.
Ireland,
yeah.
a lot of the racetracks in France are on the water. So I think it's more of a homey feeling for the Euros coming to Del Mar as opposed to, you know, Santa Anita, where they've always done well, or other racetracks, Arlington Park or wherever, because of the closeness to the water. And I mean, Del Mar is really pretty much on the water.
Yeah.
I mean, the parking lot is surrounded by water.
Yeah.
And you can actually see the ocean across the road from the grandstand. So I think the, you know, the closeness to the ocean really does perk up a lot of horses. I know, you know, especially I wasn't joking about the old horses liking it. A lot of old horses you'd be running at Hollywood Park or whatever, which isn't too far from the ocean, but you get down to Del Mar and they just like turn overnight. They just look so good.
Really?
And they feel good. And I don't know if it's like the crisp mornings, you know, because you're down near the sea or what it is, but the horses, they just seem to have a glow, a lot of the, especially the older horses. I think it's good for them.
I heard somebody talking a couple of weeks ago, and they were talking about horses that haven't raced at Del Mar, either when they do race on it, there's no in between. They either love it or they hate it. And, you know, a horse like Arrowgate, who has been beaten there on a couple of different occasions, maybe it's just not his type of surface. How would you describe the main track in that racing surface at Del Mar, having trained out there for so long?
Well, it's changed like 52 times.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's different from when
you're out there. But, I mean, I was out there for Pacific Classic. Yeah. I don't really buy the Arrowgate doesn't like Del Mar thing. I don't really think that's... I mean, you know, I think
is people, it true that horses either love it or hate it?
There's I don't
no in
see that
no?
either. I mean, okay. I'm not that black and white of a person, as you well know. I mean, I think there's room for all different degrees. I mean, some horses have favorite tracks. We know this.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a big proponent of
horse for course. Yeah.
And, you know, and some horses just really excel at Del Mar. You know, well, Mr. House's horse Hunt. He's going to be in the Breeders' Cup. He won 2 races down at Del Mar. He went
yep.
up to Santa Anita. The course really wasn't to his liking, you know. But I mean, that happens, and it can go day to day, too. I mean, mm-hmm. you see horses that are great on a particular course. You know, Thursday at Keeneland, Thatcher Road, is that his name? Thatcher Road?
Thatcher Street.
That's probably it.
Yeah.
Thatcher Street. He's 0 for Keeneland.
Right.
Right? He's a good horse.
Yeah, very good horse.
And people were betting on him yesterday. But I couldn't bet on him. He doesn't really care for it. But I mean, I don't know. You see horses like that, too, that are 0 for Keeneland, and then they win. You know? So I think maybe on any given day, a horse can like a certain track or handle it, depending on the weather or what. The turf at Keeneland's been very chewed up. A lot of dirt flying. It almost looks like the first Santa Anita handicap when
yeah.
they go into the first turn, which, you know, I don't know why that is. I think it's because they ran on it one day when it was too soft. But I don't think you can say Arrogate hates Del Mar. I mean, he got beat a half a length in a grade one.
Right. Yeah.
And he dropped back on the turn like he didn't know what he was doing. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, he was unplaced.
I think what plays into it is we're just not used to seeing him get beat at all.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
we're
I
used
think
to
there were
dominate
other
the competition.
Yeah, I think there were other issues besides the racetrack. People often blame the racetrack is almost as much as they blame the jockey, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just it's a built-in excuse. But Baffert hasn't used that as an excuse. Baffert doesn't believe that.
Right.
I don't believe it either. But you know, remains to be seen. We may all be surprised again.
Yeah. Well, a big weekend in the world of racing this weekend, too, because Churchill Downs opens tomorrow with their Stars of Tomorrow program, Stars of Tomorrow 1. And all two-year-old races. This is a phenomenal concept that Churchill's been implementing for a few years now, and I just absolutely love it. I love all those juvenile races. And the cool thing is, with the first Saturday in May and the Derby being held at Churchill Downs, now you get to see horses that could potentially come back and run in the Kentucky Derby next year and maybe even get a chance to see the Kentucky Derby winner going to the post at Churchill on Sunday.
Yeah, that's optimistic, but I like I like optimistic views.
Yeah, why not? It could happen.
And, you know, that's another thing that's kind of been proven, you know, not to really be the case. People always say, oh, you know, won a race at Churchill Downs. We know he likes the track. And a lot of those horses that won at Churchill Downs at two don't win the Kentucky Derby.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know. It's one of those things. But, yeah, two nice races there. The Rags to Riches for the Phillies and the Street Sense for the Colts. That'll be one turn miles, both of them, and nice fields in both those races. They're always fun. That's a great day when you have all the two-year-olds running. I mean, it's maybe not the most fantastic betting day because there's not a lot to go on, but once in a while you can find a fuzzy or you have a horse that you like. There's actually a horse that I like in the Churchill Downs Street Sense Stakes for the boys.
Mm. So. Maybe we'll use that as a tease, as they say in the business, and we'll come back to it later on.
Yeah.
We'll get back to that later on. So stay with us to find out.
That's a long tease till Sunday.
maybe we'll give it out toward the end of the program here. We're going to have to do that now that we've told people.
That's the kind of tease I like.
Yeah.
Three-day tease, two-day tease.
There you go. Yeah. Our poll question for this morning, you can vote at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, and it goes like this. We want to know how many of our listeners will be in attendance at the Breeders' Cup next week in Del Mar. How many of you are heading out to Del Mar for the Breeders' Cup? And let us know, and you're going to have three different choices. Yes, I will be there for both days. The second choice is yes, but only for one day. And then the third choice is no, not going, and I'm really bummed. So there you go. There are three choices. We'll find out how many of our listeners will be heading out there.
Well, you could bet a grand on the horse that I like at Churchill on Sunday and maybe get enough money to buy a plane ticket and go.
Ooh, there you go. So maybe we'll keep the voting open for through the race car to Churchill
on Sunday.
All right, here's what's coming up over the course of the next 2 hours this morning. We're going to continue to talk Breeders' Cup. We're going to be joined at 8:35 Eastern by Tom Robbins, who is the executive director of the Breeders' Cup Racing Panel. He'll talk more about the pre-entries and the process that the panel goes through when trying to determine which horses actually make it into the body of the field and which horses are left on the outside looking in on the also eligible list. We'll talk to Tom about that, 8:35 Eastern. Hall of Fame trainer Shug McGahee has won the Breeders' Cup 9 times. He trained, of course, the great Personal Ensign, who was a 2-time distaff winner. He also trained Inside Information, who won the Breeders' Cup distaff in 1995. Sadly, she left us not too long ago, so we're going to talk to Shug coming up at 9 o'clock Eastern time about the tremendous career that he has had and all of his Breeders' Cup winners. Rusty Sharp from biasbook.net is going to be with us at 9:22 Eastern to give you his thoughts on some of the horses that have been racing against the bias that you might see at Keeneland and you may see this weekend. We'll talk to Rusty about that. But when we come back, we're going to kick it off with our good friend Stuart Morris, who is going to be in studio with us. Stuart has had an unbelievable year consigning all of those yearlings at the major sales, and he's going to tell us all about the market, the state of the market. Where are we with the yearling market? He'll also look back on some of his favorite memories from the Breeders' Cup. We'll do that next. It's all ahead on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
This is Tom Leach for Kentucky Bank's Wealth Management Department. Investing in today's world requires advice that is timely and responsive to your investment needs and objectives. At Kentucky Bank, we strive to provide you with our full range of investment services with the highest degree of service and to deliver it in a personalized and effective fashion. For a no-obligation review, call Clark Nyberg at 859-988-1318. That's Clark Nyberg, 859-988-1318. Call Kentucky Bank and call it home. I do.
Have you been looking for high-quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
Racing fans, closing day at Santa Anita is this Sunday, so be sure to join us at the Great Race Place for world-class racing and much more this weekend. And with an 11-race card on Saturday, our main event Saturday is the Grade 2 $200,000 Twilight Derby at a mile and one-eighth on turf, and Saturday's supporting feature is the $70,000 added Comet of the Top Stakes at a flat mile on the main track. As always, we guarantee a $500,000 in the late pick four and $100,000 in the pick six, and don't forget, special early first post time on Saturday is at 12:15. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080 or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Into Mischief is North America's emerging top sire, the world's leading two-year-old sire in 2016, and America's leading three-year-old sire in 2017, with his biggest and best crops still to come.
Golden Sense just keeps on going. Golden Sense will do it again in the dirt final.
Practical jumps out of the way of the champagne. Vickers in trouble.
By Jack in the ascendancy light.
Into Mischief, standing at Spendthrift Farm.
This is Bob Baffert, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And there goes Silver Valente with a flourish on the outside, and she is charging toward the front. Also gaining ground is Excellent Meeting, and Free Ring is there down toward the inside. Confessional is thrown in the towel, and as they come to the eighth pole, Silver Valente strikes the lead. On the outside, Excellent Meeting is now driving up to be second, and Baffert 1-2 in the juvenile fillies. At the 16th pole, it is Silver Valente, Excellent Meeting, a final surge as they come to the line. Here's the wire, the filly champion is Silver Valente. And stablemate Excellent Meeting finishing second, and lining up third was Three Ring.
I have to say, that was a little painful for me. My all-time favorite filly, Excellent Meeting, unable to get past the great Silver Bullet Day in the 1998 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. But what a tremendous performance that day by Silver Bullet Day. And you look at her resume, 15 victories for Silver Bullet Day, and Eclipse Award winner as the champion two-year-old filly that year. She would be the champion three-year-old filly the following year, inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2009 after earning nearly $3.1 million on the racetrack. Pretty spectacular, and another wonderful moment in Breeders' Cup history.
Yeah, it's not exactly like Excellent Meeting got beat by Famous Girl or something.
Correct. Yeah. No, correct.
But I feel your pain. I used to have to watch In Excess beating Ruvignac every night on the Santa Anita replays.
You remember Excellent Meeting didn't run in the Oaks. She ran in the Derby that following year,
right,
with General Challenge. Remember General Challenge?
Another reach for the stars.
And she should have won the race. She had a tough trip. I swear, Excellent Meeting was the winner. She was the best that year. Anyway, Stuart Morris, our good friend, may actually disagree because he has a very special tie to Silver Bullet Day, and rightfully so. Stuart, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Yeah, that was a good day, that Silver Bullet Day. That was very fortunate to foal and raise her from my dad and his partner, John Crook, from California. And I was young in the game, and thought it was really easy real quick, right? I mean, sitting here.
Meteoric rise to stardom.
Exactly, right? You start working for your father, and you pull him out, and you're raising him and taking care of him. And we go sell her for a bunch of money and sold her to Bob Baffert, who at the time was the rising guy back in the day. Then he was becoming the world-famous Bob Baffert. And then to watch her go do what she did, and fortunate enough to see her run a lot of Churchill in the neighborhood. So and now in my time in the business, 20 years later, I guess it is, I recognize how fortunate I was at that time to be around one like that.
That's a great feeling, though, isn't it? I mean, that's what makes everybody get up when they call you from the barn and say that the mirror's ready to drop. Everybody rushes out because it's like Christmas morning all over again.
100%.
You can't wait to see what you're getting, and then you're around those horses, and you know everything about them. You've raised them like they're your kids. Yeah. It's fantastic.
It's the magical part of it, and it's part of the things of our industry that if we could. It's one of the things in our industry that if we could figure out to put it in a bottle or really effectively show people about the magic of our game, that would change it for us. I think we're fortunate right now with new folks coming into the industry, but I think if we could bottle that experience or properly, you know, show people what it's like and some obviously other things, winning your first race or winning a race as an owner or a breeder. You know, the other day at Keeneland or Phase Tipton on Monday, I had some clients and they won a race at Laurel with a homebred, and 20 minutes later, we sold their homebred for $120,000 to Wet Wavertree and Kieran Dunn. And it was just like, you know, the euphoria of having a horse they foaled and raised and bred and started breaking it and then sent it to the trainers and then to watch it win. And then you go sell the next generation off the farm, you know, in 20 minutes is pretty magical. You know, just those things along with the birth of a new foal or the experiences that you can't, it's hard to verbalize it. It's hard, unless you're doing it, it's really hard to explain to people. And I think if we could get that in a bottle or get it on TV in a proper way, we'd have people running at us.
And once you experience it, it becomes like a drug, right?
Yeah.
And it gets in your system.
100%.
You can't get enough of it.
100%.
What do you remember about that day that Silver Bullet Day won the Juvenile Fillies?
It's a lot of it's kind of blurry and gray. You know, I mean, it was just one of those moments of like, is this really happening kind of thing? You know what I mean? I mean, and then she'd always, obviously there was a bit of anxiety and stress because of the expectations. You know, she was beaten. She won out of the TV every time she ran. She was dominant. You know, I think she was like 6-1 the next year in the Belmont. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She was some mare. So it's kind of like, I think what you guys go through with when you have Miss Temple City, when you have those horses that you're fortunate enough to be around in any way with a close track, you know, close attention to, when they begin to perform at those levels, you just hope they can maintain that level. Cause we all know that eventually they fall off that level. Cause whether you're a person playing the NBA or a golfer, or there's only so much time you can spend at that level before just Mother Nature and life are going to slow you down. So
yeah, there's always a new horse coming up, a new golfer, a new running back,
the young lion coming in to pick it up from the old guard. But you know, it was just a magical day. I mean, she was just a special mare. And as, again, I was at the time I was so young. I mean, I thought this is easy, man. When are we going to do this again next year? See you guys back here next year at the Breeders' Cup. You know,
you do get spoiled, don't you?
You get spoiled sometimes. Yeah. But that keeps also, like Mike was mentioning, puts the passion and the fire in you. You know, you get around horses like that. And I've been fortunate to be around a lot of nice horses in my life. And they're what keep you getting up in the morning, like you guys said.
Mike Penna, Jude Feld in studio, our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studio here on the Equine Forum, visiting with our good friend Stuart Morris, who has been extremely busy consigning his yearlings to the major sales all over the country this year. Stuart, that yearling sales season wrapping up this past week at Phasic Tipton with the Phasic Tipton October sale here in Kentucky. And that sale just extremely strong. And the entire yearling season, I think, people are very optimistic about where we're going as a market and as an industry, seeing the numbers that we saw all year long.
I would agree. This year, I also started out participating in my first two-year-old season as a consigner with Willie North. We started starting point sales with the two-year-old thing, and I helped him with that. It was his baby, but I kind of helped with that for the first time. So watching the market actually for the first time in my career from pillar to post, as you'd say, it's been very dynamic watching things progress and get better, and you can just feel this momentum, and there's a lot of positive energy around, I think, the horse industry and certainly the commercial market right now. There's a lot of folks coming to the sales with an outlook wanting to buy horses. They're wanting to find animals to buy. They're wanting to find horses to go to the racetrack with, and I think a big part of that is a lot of the better media coverage we're getting in recent years, and also that it's good now, and we got these big pots to go for with the Pegasus and all these other big races. I mean, a man can go spend a lot of money on a horse and think that if I've bought the right horse, it's not just going to be money I've thrown away. So they get the joy of, you know, the financial reward for it, also with the joy of just actually owning the horse and the euphoria of that experience.
We were talking before we went on air about the October sale at Fasig Tipton and how successful it was. And I think in some ways, because it's close to the Breeders' Cup, it gets people's juices going, right? Because, you know, you see maybe your friend's got a horse in the race this year and you don't have one. And everybody's thinking, man, you know, we gotta step up our game here. People are getting ahead of us. You know, horse racing is competitive on almost every level. I mean, from the mom and pop farm all the way up to, you know, Darley or Coolmore. So, I mean, everybody's trying to do the same thing, and they have their own particular budget or whatever, but they don't want to let one fall through the cracks that maybe could put them in a Breeders' Cup race next year.
100%. And I think that's the competition for the buyers and the owners. I think I do agree with you greatly, Jude, is that they start out and the competition starts now. And whether you're the guy on the $20,000 budget or the $200,000 bracket or the I'm buying whatever I want bracket, everybody stops at some point. And so just like those guys running into the same owners and trainers they compete with at the racetrack, when you're buying at those levels, you're oftentimes running into those guys at the horse sale. So a lot of times, like you're talking about, the rivalry begins now. You know, it's like, man, I want that one. Oh, no, he's going to get it. I want it just so he doesn't have it. You know, it's that old mentality like when UK and Indiana and everybody used to fight over basketball players because you had 18 scholarships. You only need like 12 guys, right? So they would recruit guys that they knew would never play just so they weren't playing for Bobby Knight at Indiana or Mike Krzyzewski at Duke.
Exactly right.
And it's the same thing. It's like if they're in my barn, then they can't beat me. Yeah. They being obviously the animals and the prospects out there. So it was I think it's a big part of it, but it does. The rivalry starts for those guys because they all want to buy the same horse in their level. They want to buy the best horse they can at their price point level.
Right.
So the guys that are sharp, that have the success, they typically land on the same horses at all the same price points.
Yeah.
So that begins at a very early time, and it carries on, which is a big part of it too.
And it's not just the guys. They got to look for Mandy Pope over their shoulder.
Exactly. They got to prefer the guys. You're 100% right, Jude. Not just Mandy Pope, but the Starlight Ladies and everything else.
Yeah, Samantha Siegel.
There's a long list of very successful women, the owners in the business, of course, and they're very commercially active, of course, too.
Yeah, one thing we talk about quite often in the sport is attracting new owners to the game. And it sounds to me from listening to you talk, Stuart, and you would know better than we would certainly in your line of work, are we seeing new owners and fresh money being inserted into this sport now?
I think so. Obviously, that's an empirical, you know, that's kind of just going out there and seeing names on the result sheets that are new.
Yep.
I did notice, I was glad to see Tracy Farmer back in the market buying some horses over there at Fasig Tipton. Tracy's obviously had a lot of success in the industry, he and his wife, and all the way back to commentator and Albert the Great and those good horses. And he's been kind of a little quiet at the racetrack for a little while, so it's good to see him back buying some more horses again. So I think it's a combination of guys that have been in the past and maybe got away from the racing dynamic part of it and the commercial purchasing part that are coming back to it a little bit now, I think. And also some new money. I think the syndicates, I think if you look at the success of that Eclipse and West Point and all these syndicates have coming along, and you know the folks that Steve Castagnola and Barry Berkelheimer buy for that have Free Drop Billy and those nice horses.
Yeah, the Allbaugh.
The Allbaugh family, yeah. They're an offshoot of Donegal, if I understand that correctly. So I think those syndicate groups are very good at bringing in new money, as it were, and then a lot of those guys spin off on their own or stay in.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, another one, the Bensons, right?
Yeah.
They've gotten back in, and they've gotten back in at a pretty – they've been very successful. They haven't spent a ton of money, but, I mean, it would be a ton of money for most people.
Exactly. For those guys, it's a drop
easy
of the
button.
Saturday afternoon, right?
But I once wanted to geld a horse that my client paid $380,000 for, and I went to Charlie Whittingham to ask him if he had any suggestions for me to, you know, keep this horse from – from exposing himself in the paddock. And he said, I think you should just geld him. I said, we paid $380 for him. He goes, that's not much money. For me, it was the most expensive horse I ever had.
Yeah, so. Charlie had five of those.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, 500 of them.
Exactly.
Yeah. Stuart, you're going to be very busy with the Phasic Tipton November sale. That's November 6th. It begins 4 p.m. here in Lexington. And an absolutely loaded catalog for that November sale. The folks at Phasic should be very proud of what they've accomplished again this year. Tell me a little bit about what people can expect when they stop by your consignment.
I've got a very, 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 very proud of the group of horses I have. I have a lovely Shanghai Bobby filly for my father, out of a young mare with a big pedigree. She's exquisite. She's been a good one her whole life. I think there's going to be a little life for Bobby, hopefully, on Sunday in the Chelsea Bowl at Belmont. I think March Express should run there. Hopefully, that'll be a little boost for us commercially with her. But a lovely filly. I have a jam-up tail of a Cotty colt that I found through a friend of mine. Very attractive colt. Obviously, with the success the tail of a Cotty's had of late, we're hoping to capitalize on that. And then I have a bit of a unique package. I have a mare in foal to Tappet, only one in that catalog, and I believe there are only six cataloged at Keeneland. So only seven Tappet mares this year to buy in the November marketplace publicly, which I think is a bit of a smaller number than in past years. And her Bernardini foal that's a pretty special, I believe. So those are two horses for some folks in my Melody and Brian Hicks out of Ocala that I've been working with for 20 years. They bred the mother. They own the second dam. They've made the family. And so this is kind of a 20-year project for us coming to culmination. We were able to buy the mare's first foal, first filly back in November, and she's in foal to Into Mischief. So it's kind of a long-time project for us to bring this package to market for hopefully a very successful result.
You know, it's great that you're going to be here and you're going to be working with your consignment and participating in that November sale, but the downside to it is you can't make the trip to Del Mar for the Breeders' Cup.
No question. No question. I think that was on the list definitely to try and make out this year. I think Del Mar, I went out there for the first time this spring in March with the two-year-old sale and thought it was just a special, special place and was really hoping I could get back out there, but obviously we'll make the sacrifice for the quality of the horses we have over there to sell the day after.
Stuart Morris, ladies and gentlemen, like all of our guests who appear on the program, he's going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. You can embrace your passion and wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Stuart, really appreciate you stopping by for a visit, my friend, and all the best in November, and keep it rolling.
Thank you all very much for everything, guys.
We got one more minute?
Yeah. What do you got?
Sure. I just wanted to ask Stuart, every trainer, everybody involved in the horse business has one that they love. Who was the horse that you loved that you sold this year? The one that you really think's going to do it.
Man, you're putting me in the spot there. I had a lot of nice horses this year. I'd say there'd be a couple. I mean, I had a Cairo Prince this summer in July that it was just a special kind of horse his whole life. I had some nice horses at Saratoga. I had a Candy Rye colt in book two that was special that I sold to Gary West. I was very, very blessed. And I'm not trying to lay off Jude. I mean, I you're putting me on the spot a little bit, but I was very fortunate this year with a bunch of very, very nice horses. And if I had to pick one horse that really – tell you the story on one that really talked to me this year that was really fun. That I don't – like I said, I tell people, I really believe I sold a lot of race horses this year, a lot of people bought stake horses for me from 30,000 to 4.25. But I had a horse I sold this summer at this fall at OBS for one of my employees for $20,000 that was a horse I couldn't get a bid on earlier – as a weanling, and we gave to him, and he took home and he raised himself, and we went out there and he says, I want 20 grand for him. If they don't give me 20 grand, I'm going to keep him and run him. And we walked in there and got 20 grand for him. And that was probably my most memorable and personal horse I sold this year was for my guy, Joe, that works for me in my sale barn, that we gave him a horse that no one would take. And he worked his butt off for a year, and we turned him into 20 grand for Joe. So that would be my horse for this crop.
How cool is that? Doesn't always have to be that $1 million horse, right?
No, not at all.
Wow.
It changed my man's life, you know?
Yeah. Good stuff. Stuart Morris with us here on HRN. Stuart, appreciate it, bud.
Thank you all very much, guys. Appreciate you.
Typically our time here, we would bring you our Lexus Legends of the Turf story, but in deference to all of our guests here this morning and all of our Breeders' Cup conversation, we are going to bypass that story, but we will tell you that if you're in the market for a new vehicle, a pre-owned vehicle, you go see the Godfather, Tony Attiano. He's right there on the corner of New Circle and Liberty here in Lexington. That's where the Lexus store of Lexington is. You go in, you talk to them about the Lexus Raven Run that they sponsor at Keeneland. You see the Keeneland shop that they have at the Lexus store. You talk some horses, and then eventually, I promise you, you will get to the Lexus and driving one of those brand new Lexus because it is truly spectacular. I've had mine for a few years now, and I couldn't be happier with that purchase. And go see him, the Godfather Tony Attiano, all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. We'll get to another break. We'll come back. Tom Robbins, the executive director of the Breeders' Cup Racing Panel, is up next right here on HRN.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the Godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Join Keeneland Select to bet on racing from around the world on your computer, tablet, or smartphone anytime, anywhere. Featuring the best rewards in racing, including double the points when you play the Keeneland Daily Double, Rolling Super High Five, and Pick Four Hit It and Split It opportunities. Sign up today at KeenelandSelect.com and earn $100 when you bet your first $300. Strategize, analyze, select with Keeneland Select. And tune into the In the Money podcast for betting tips on the races this weekend at Keeneland.
Earn 25% more for every win when you send your horse to Virginia by taking advantage of the new Virginia Certified Program. Simply send your horse to reside in Virginia for 6 months prior to December 31st of their two-year-old year and be eligible for a 25% owner's bonus for wins in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, and West Virginia, regardless of state-bred status. There's value in Virginia with the new Virginia Certified Program. Visit vabred.org for details.
What is it about Tony's steaks and seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, "This is steak nirvana." Or how about the great seafood, the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere? All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington on Main Street, right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
Power. And Bodie Meister is turning the Arkansas Derby into an absolute romp.
Passion.
Pioneer of the Nile, full stretch, but keeping Chocolate Candy at bay. And Pioneer of the Nile and Derek Gomez have won the Santa Anita Derby.
Performance.
Royal Delta, my Miserelia, here is a champion again. Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic.
Gainsway Stallion Empire Maker, a champion and sire of 11 Grade 1 winners, including three-time Eclipse Award champion Royal Delta and classic-placed Bodie Meister, sire of 2017 Kentucky Derby winner Always Dreaming, and Pioneer of the Nile, sire of Triple Crown winner American Pharaoh. Empire Maker's first U.S. crop are now weanlings. Look for them at Keeneland in November. Empire Maker's 2018 book is limited to 130 mares.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Okay, this is Carl Nasker, and I listen to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Dre Fong and Masochistic are tearing strips off each other. Three lengths in front of AP Indian. The race setting up beautifully for him. Top of the stretch, Dre Fong, Masochistic clear from AP Indian. Dre Fong on the inside and Masochistic still battling it out. AP Indian making no impression. Mind Your Biscuits is bubbling to the surface. Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won. Second, close, very tight. Masochistic or Mind Your Biscuits, AP Indian, a flat fourth.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna and Jude Feld, that is Baron and Pontiff, with you in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios. You talk about freaky fast, freaky good with Jimmy John's. Well, you have to say the same thing about Dre Fong, who you just heard Michael Rona with the call of last year's Breeders' Cup Sprint. Dre Fong, one of nine previous Breeders' Cup winners, pre-entered to this year's Breeders' Cup on Monday. 187 horses total, and should be a good one. All of our coverage coming your way Friday and Saturday exclusively here on HRN. You can tune in throughout North America on Sirius 219, XM 206, on affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, Florida, across the country, and, of course, streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. And all of that coverage Friday and Saturday afternoon is presented by our friends at visitbarbados.org. Tom Robbins is the executive director of the Breeders' Cup Racing Panel. He has to be extremely happy with what he saw with the pre-entries this past week. Tom, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you, Mike, Jude.
Yeah, good morning. Happy to have you on. Thanks for getting up a little early with us here this morning. But I know this is old hat for you for these couple of weeks, isn't it?
Right, yeah. We start early, especially when the Breeders' Cup is on the West Coast, recognizing that on the other coast, 3 hours ahead of us, the activity is going on well before things happen here. So, yeah, it happens earlier out here.
Tom, I mentioned the nine previous Breeders' Cup winners. Of course, Arrowgate among them, trying to defend his title in the Classic. Hit some of the highlights for us on some of the other main contenders we can look forward to seeing over those 2 days.
Well, I think that's a wonderful race, the Classic, just to start with Gunrunner. I mean, it's the classic battle between the reigning champion in Arrogate and Gunrunner, who's developed into, I think, just as good a horse, maybe if not better, than Arrogate. You know, Arrogate did so much last year, and then continued his greatness moving into early 2017 in the Pegasus World Cup, and then went on to do Dubai, and both races were sensational. Of course, returning to race in the San Diego Handicap at Del Mar last summer, he threw in a clunker, which, you know, surprisingly or not surprisingly to you guys and all of us in racing, can happen, and it did. His trainer, Bob Baffert, kind of blamed himself for that effort. We just don't know. We do know these animals can't speak to us and tell us exactly what's going on. But he did rebound nicely in the Pacific Classic, but was defeated by his stablemate, Collected. But is seemingly back in form. Reports are training well. And we'll see it, but it's again a classic confrontation. Bob has three other starters in the race, and Collected, who beat Arrogate in the Pacific Classic, is one of them, and he continues to do well. And then you've got the three-year-old West Coast, who, you know, this is another one of these great confrontations. The three-year-olds have been running against their own age group, and now they're finally in a position to challenge the older horses. So that question will be answered as well.
Yeah, it is a classic, you might say. I mean, there's a lot of intrigue, especially with Baffert running four. That's kind of an interesting concept for the Classic.
Yeah, he's been loaded all year with the special dirt handicap type horses, and it just continues on through this period. So, you know, he might try to surround the opposition. he certainly has the numbers to do that. So we'll see. I mean, it's exciting to think about, and that's what this event is all about. You know, all of these great confrontations, these great challenges and meetings of the best coming not just from parts of the U.S., but of course Europe, and you know, Breeders' Cup has done an excellent job in attracting a solid group of horses from Europe. You know, they deposit Mr. Josh Christian in Europe for several months to to wine and dine those folks and encourage them to come over for Breeders' Cup. And he's done a really good job, record numbers, and certainly the best group of juvenile two-year-olds running on the turf that we've ever seen. So kudos to Breeders' Cup and Josh for delivering on that.
Yeah, and in terms of the other defending Breeders' Cup winners that we'll see, horses like Highland Reel, for example. We just talked about Dre Fong for a minute when we heard that race clip coming out of the break. Oscar Performance, Champagne Room, Queen's Trust, Finest City, Mongolian Saturday, and one of my favorite storylines, and it has been for a couple of years now, Tom, is Lady Eli, who is back again this year. Pretty cool story.
Oh, tremendous story. You know, when these equine athletes are near death, and she was, to have her return and do what she's done is just unbelievable. It's just remarkable. You know, it's one of those heartwarming stories that you love to see in the sport.
There was some banter this week about horses that didn't draw in. Can you explain to the listeners how the panel works and what goes into selecting the horses that don't have enough points or haven't won a win and you're in?
Right. It's a fairly simple process, but one that, you know, you're never going to please everybody. And what it is there are eight representatives of racing, three from Europe, the senior handicappers from Ireland, France, and England, and then five domestic racing secretaries, Martin Panza, Ben Huffman, Rick Hammerly from Santa Anita, P.J. Campo, and Steve Lim from Canada. So North America is represented by those five people, and then the Europeans. And the process is one in which half the field is determined by challenge winners. There are races that are run throughout the year that winners can receive the benefits of having an automatic berth in the starting gate for the particular division in which they win. And then there are horses that have the opportunity to gain points in North America through graded stakes races. And so half the field is determined by challenge winners and or the highest point earners in each of these races. And then the other half is determined by the people that I just mentioned. Those eight folks get together, and I'm in the meeting. I don't have a vote in the process. Dora Delgado is also in the meeting. And it's just a process that, you know, good, healthy discussion and some arguments in terms of determining the rest of the field and how they will how it will play out. It's, you know, it's particularly difficult. And this year we had some really tough races. The juvenile turf had a record number of 27 horses pre-enter. So, you know, you're basically looking at, and 14 can run in the race. So 13 horses have to be on the outside looking in after the pre-entry process. And that's a tough one to swallow for connections that put their heart and soul into these horses and feel that they have a horse should be inside, should be in the body of the race and not be out on the outside looking in, and have to go through the stressful period of time from pre-entry day to entry day, which is this coming Monday, to see if they're going to get in. And each of these horses that are not in the race are ranked in order. So the connections of these horses, the owners and trainers of these horses, know where they fall from 15 on to 27. And, you know, the two-year-olds are especially difficult because we have less form and less history to go by, obviously, that many of these have not made too many starts. And so, you know, you're really splitting hairs when you get down to some of these decisions that have to be made. And it's but it's obviously not done lightly. It's a lengthy process of, like I said, you know, just discussion. I will lay the race out, and then as to the challenge winners and the point earners, who's in, and then the discussion begins from all of the participants, and eventually make it to the point where we've determine who's in and who's out and what ranking order they are for those that don't make it into the race.
Tom Robbins, Executive Director of the Breeders' Cup Racing Panel, with us on the Horse Racing Radio Network this morning. Tom, so it sounds as if it's more of an arbitrary type of decision that just comes about based on a discussion as opposed to a set scheduled parameters that are followed, whether it be greatest stakes earnings or whatever that might be. Is that true? Am I interpreting that correctly, where it's more of an arbitrary thing based on a discussion?
Yeah, each member might have different criteria in which they are basing their selections on. So it's not a uniform look at it, but it's really a process of delving into each of the horses and not just looking at a past performance record. It may be looking at the horses that they ran against in breaking the maiden or their subsequent stakes performance, the collateral form of those horses, how they have run since, and looking at video and for horses that encountered trouble or how easily they did it. So it's more than just saying, okay, let's open up the racing form or whatever information they go by and saying, this one looks like he should be in. It's an interesting process in that there are varying views, and you hear those views, and you've got the Europeans who are quite knowledgeable of the American races as well as their own. But, in this particular race, when you have a solid group of European runners for the first time in this particular race, you can understand how, it's difficult to compare with what their horses have done and match them up with what the American horses have done. So that was a lengthy, that particular race, as you might expect, was a lengthy one.
Tom, only about 60 seconds left before we have to get to our next commercial break, but you've spent so much time at Del Mar. I want to ask you about that particular track, and what is it about Del Mar that just makes it so special and a perfect fit for what we're going to see with the Breeders' Cup?
Well, I think the location, and Jude spent many years here, the location is Bing Crosby said, for those of you that remember Bing Crosby.
Just you and I.
we older folks that remember Bing Crosby. Said it's a pretty good seven iron away from the Pacific Ocean. So the setting is a really delightful spot. It's before you talk about the racing aspect, there are so many things to do and great restaurants and great hotels that they're all part of the whole Breeders' Cup experience for people that have never been here, that don't know anything about Del Mar. Those that have seen it understand it. But we think going through all of the people and having information on the people who are going to be attending the races, approximately 70% of the people are outside of the area. So, and many of which we know have never been here before. So from that standpoint, it's, we hope that they will experience it as we have through the years and enjoy that experience. Racing, the dirt track is a mile circumference, similar to Santa Anita. The turf course, 7-furlong turf course with an infield chute, which is entirely different than Santa Anita in that regard. Santa Anita with its down the hill portion that then comes into the oval. The stretch from the top of the stretch to the finish line is about 70 feet shorter in comparison to Santa Anita. The radius of the turns are fairly comparable to Santa Anita, but based on what Europeans experience, a little bit tighter than what they normally see. But those things probably are the most consequential differences in terms of what horses that have never been here are going to experience. Similar to Santa Anita in some respects, a little bit different than others. And we've gone through a crazy heat wave here in the last several days. We've approached 100 degrees, which are record highs. And It's going to cool down. It's supposed to be only 80 today, but as Jude will know, that's an unusual temperature. Late October, we don't experience these highs in the summer. And it's supposed to even potentially get cooled down and get some rain, a little bit of rain next week. So we're keeping our fingers crossed.
Yeah, it's going to be a great Breeders' Cup. Tommy, can't thank you enough for spending a little time with us here. We'll look forward to seeing you when we get out there. Thanks so much.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. Looking forward to seeing you as well.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back, get you set for hour number two. It's the Equine Forum on HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Since 2000, Milrich has raised or sold 8 Breeders' Cup winners, with 2016 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf winner Oscar Performance their latest. Since 2005, Nakoma Bloodstock has assisted with matings, producing Oscar Performance, Harve de Grace, Street Sense, and Barbaro. Milrich offers real opportunity at the Keeneland November sale, including Grade 1 winner Balance, a half-sister to the Great Senyata, in foal to Uncle Mo, and Sky Girl, a half-sister to Kentucky Oaks winner Abel Tasman, in foal to Union Rags. Milrich welcomes your inspection at Keeneland Barn 11 starting Sunday, November 5th.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Castleton Lions, home to multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and blue-blooded sprinter Justin Phillip, who was recently represented by his first stakes winner at Belmont Park.
Down to the line, what a catch takes the Rockville Center over Morning Breeze.
That game stakes victory by What a Catch comes on the heels of Justin Phillips' daughter, Upset Brewing, putting in a strong runner-up finish in the $100,000 debutante at Churchill Downs. And while Justin Phillips continues his fast start, 7-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance.
And Sir Dudley Diggs from Amiz Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
Dreyfong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dreyfong's the leader. Dreyfong has won.
Gio Ponti and Justin Phillip standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwiches, Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What do we do?
Leave it to me, sir. Hello, boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's. Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Airdrie Stud is proud to introduce the brilliantly talented American Freedom for the 2018 breeding season. The last top son of the great sire of sire's pulpit, American Freedom was a sensational graded stakes winner, defeating all three classic winners of his generation, while besting the great Gunrunner both times they met. His Hall of Fame trainer, Bob Baffert, said, quote, American Freedom was a freak. He had more natural talent than most Grade 1 winners I've trained. Airdrie Stud's newest sensation, American Freedom. Think about it.
This is Al Stahl, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It's a big break back to the rest of the field. Inside information, turning it into a runaway. Mike Smith asked her for run, and in an instant, the response was devastating. Inside information. Edberg would say, what a performance this afternoon by Inside Information.
Tom Durkin with a call of that 1995 Breeders' Cup distaff, 13 and a half lengths. The winning margin, that to this day, is the largest margin of victory in the history of the Breeders' Cup. Inside information, trained by Hall of Famer Shug McGahee, who is going to join us in just a couple of minutes here and look back on that performance and all of his Breeders' Cup victories. Should be a good one. We're going to bring that interview and more in the second half of the program right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. You are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network, the official home of the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bolt Doro is forging clear. This is a high-caliber colt. We're witnessing the emergence of a star as Bolt Doro treats his rivals to a comprehensive walloping in the front runner.
She's trying to squeeze through a slim opening here, and through the eye of a needle, here she comes. And a late has charged through to take the lead, and she is taking off for the wire, leaving the others behind. A late dominates the Beldame.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Arrogator's getting going late now. Collected is in front. Arrogate closing on the outside. It's a Bob Baffert 1-2, but Collected going to win it. Collected and Martin Garcia won the Pacific Classic.
Gervin in the center of the track. McCracken by two. Practical Joke and Gervin are both coming. Gervin on the outside. Here comes Gervin. And Gervin gets up to win by a nostril over McCracken in a thrilling Haskell.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, we are with you in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios, and happy to have you with us 1 week away from the Breeders' Cup World Championships at Del Mar. Of course, we'll be there as your exclusive radio home. The only place you'll hear the Breeders' Cup on radio is right here with us on HRRN. You can tune in on affiliates across the country, as well as this very same Sirius XM channel you're listening to right now, Sirius 219 XM 206. All of that coverage coming up Friday and Saturday, presented by visitbarbados.org. And of course, it streams worldwide on our website at horseracingradio.net. JT, fun first half of the show. Had a chance to visit with Stuart Morris, who stopped by the program in studio, and Tom Robbins from Breeders' Cup joining us just a short time ago. If people missed any portion of the show, they can head back to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out the podcast.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and we're going to have some fun right now.
Yeah, we certainly are. Excited for our next guest here this morning. He is Hall of Famer Shug McGahee, a native of Lexington, Kentucky, a nine-time Breeders' Cup winner. You heard the race clip of Inside Information just demolishing the field in the 1995 Breeders' Cup distaff. That is one of his nine victories, and he's with us now here on HRN. Shug, appreciate the time.
Oh, you're welcome, Mike.
Yeah, welcome to the show. You know, we were earlier about Inside Information because we played that race clip, and of course, as we know, 2 weeks ago, sadly, she left us. But when you think back on that day in 1995, what are some of the thoughts that come to mind?
Well, she'd come out of a pretty hard race in the Spinster, where she was kind of was all out to beat horses she'd been beating pretty easy. So I had a little bit of a question mark with that. But then she came back here, and before the race, she had a really, really good work. And, you know, so we were looking forward to running her. I had Heavenly Prize in the same race, and you know, going in there, you couldn't really separate them, but I knew it came up a sloppy track, and Heavenly Prize wasn't quite as efficient on a sloppy track as I knew that Inside Information, being my private account who loved it also, I knew she would probably like it. But, you know, it was a thrilling day here in New York, and we'd won a two-year-old filly race earlier, and, you know, so we were looking forward to running her, and they finished 1-2, so it ended up being a very good day.
Yeah, to say the least. you never disappoint with the description of that. When we had you on Trainer Talk, you went through her whole training schedule. It was amazing. I love how you know exactly what you did with her leading up to the race and everything. It's really special.
Well, she was a special kind of horse, and, you know, like I say, she had a really good work. I think she went 5/8 in a minute or something before she ran, and, you know, did it easy and did it the right way. So, you know, we had a lot of confidence going in that she would, you know, would run a good race. Whether that was going to be good enough, who knows? No, you know, those races are pretty competitive, but she made it a little bit non-competitive, so that was good. Mike rode a good race. He broke, and he sort of took the initiative, you know, eighth of a mile out of there or so, and we went from there.
Shug, I know you've been through this with several of the champions and great horses that you've trained, but when you do get the phone call or you do read the news that a horse like Inside Information has passed on, what's that like for a trainer?
Well, I mean, you know, when they get to be that age and stuff, it's something that you sort of realize. She'd been retired from breeding and, you know, was back with with the older mares and stuff. And, you know, Claiborne takes great care of them at that point. And I got a text from Bradley, you know, the next morning, the farm manager at Claiborne, you know, telling me she'd passed on. And, you know, you just kind of, reminisce on her record. And, you know, she was an interesting filly because, you know, probably not till the Breeders' Cup did I really realize how good she was, you know, because she had her and Heavenly Prize at the same time. And luckily, until the Breeders' Cup, I was able to keep them separated. But, you know, she had a little bit of a problem after Mother Goose, and but we got that straightened out. And, you know, I remember in that November before we went to Florida, I told Mr. Phipps, I said, I'm going to learn. So I said, she's training so good, I want to make sure she's not lying to me. So we hauled her over at Aqueduct sometime in November, and she won easy again. So we went from there. But, you know, just kind of sitting here in my office, and I got a picture of her in here winning the Acorn. And, you know, when you get those kind, and they're able to take you to those kind of places, you know, like the Acorn, like the Breeders' Cup, you know, the Ruffians and those kind of races, it's, you know, it's what you do it for. And, you know, I just appreciate having the opportunity to have one like her and that could put us in those type of spots to where we can be competitive in the big races, and you know, able to win most of them, because she was 14 out of 17. And one of those times she got beat over at Aqueduct, her second start, that was my fault. And then she got beat, the only time she got beat as a four-year-old, she got beaten in Ballerina, and she stumbled leaving the gate. And Classy Mirage, Julie, I think, you know, they went to the lead, and we just weren't able to catch them. And so, you know, it was a pretty good, and the other time was the Mother Goose. And so it was a pretty good run with her.
Hall of Fame trainer Shug McGahee with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. 9 Breeders' Cup victories to his credit. Shug, people may not realize that your very first victory in the Breeders' Cup came with the Brilliant Personal Ensign in 1988. And, of course, you retired undefeated by virtue of that victory, and what a victory it was. Take us back to that day for a minute and look back on Personal Ensign and that performance.
Well, it was an interesting day. I mean, we went in there with a lot of confidence. She'd won the races all pretty easy all year. She beat the Colts and the Whitney and came back and beat Winning Colors in the Mascot going a flat mile. You know, and then we won the Beldame. You know, I remember Beldame, you know, I felt like that she came into it really well, and she'd been beaten. The horses were in there fairly easy, so I kind of told myself that day, I said, if she breaks good, just sit down and watch her run. And that's what I did. We got her to Louisville, and everything was fine. And, you know, I went into the race with a lot of confidence, and I don't think I really even worried about the way the track was that day, because she had one on off track at Saratoga. But, you know, obviously, you know, she struggled with it till she finally got maybe in a stretch and, you know, found a spot where she liked. And, she went on and finished, but, you know, I'm going to say from the 5/8 pole to 2 jumps from the wire, I didn't think she had much of a chance. But, You know, that was one of those deals where trainer didn't have anything to do with it, jockey didn't have anything to do with it. It was just a matter that was all horse. And you know, she wanted to win, and she was able to. And it was a big thrill for us to win, be able to win a Breeders' Cup race and send her home undefeated. And you know, it was also Mr. Phipps' first Breeders' Cup, so. You know, she was another one that took you places that that you want to go. And, you know, she's, like I say, she's kind of she's a career maker when you train one that's, you know, 13 for 13, retired undefeated. The first time horse had been retired undefeated and at that time in 80-some-odd years, so a champion. And so it was a big thrill. I mean, you know, I remember people saying to me, I said, I guess she'll be a big void leaving there. And I said, well, she'll be a big void leaving there, but I'd done all I could do. I was glad. She got home and got home safe. And, you know, she'd been hurt as a 2-year-old. And so when she went home and she was safe and went on to be a great broodmare was, you know, something that was special, too.
That was an amazing race. I'll never forget it. And just listening to you talk about it, the hair stood up on the back of my neck. It was one of those performances. It was kind of like an out-of-body experience. You never thought she was going to get there, and it was so deflating, and then all of a sudden she wins, and it was really amazing.
Yeah, it was. It was. I mean, I felt the same as you did. Like I say, I never thought she was going to win, and I happened to be standing with a friend of mine, and he said, what do you think about the 3/8 pole? And I said, not today. And but she kept picking them up. But Randy told me it was never in doubt. So
sounds like Randy.
Yeah, he had a lot more confidence than I did.
Shug, the other Breeders' Cup winners that you train, the names read like Dancing Spree, who won the sprint in '89, and 2-time mile winner Lure, who went back to back in '92 and '93. You had My Flag, who won the Juvenile Fillies, and Pleasant Home, who was another distaff winner for you, and then Rhythm in the Juvenile and Storm Flag Flying in the Juvenile Fillies in 2002. Of those horses, which of them has the story that you like to tell most and like to reflect upon the most?
Well, all of them got a story behind them. I mean, Dancing Spree came out, you know, I mean, he was about an agency, he was supposed to run a mile and a quarter, and that's what I was doing in allowance races. Cadero was riding him, and he came back one day, we ran him a mile and an eighth or something, and he finished third or second or fourth or something, and he said, you need to run him shorter. And so I said, okay, I'll find a race going a mile. He said, no, run shorter than that. And so then that's how he became a sprinter, and he was an interesting horse because sometime first part of June, he won the True North going 3/4, and 4th of July, he won the Suburban going a mile and a quarter. But I think Cadero that day was an off track, and you know, he pretty much carried him to the wire. And then, you know, he just got beat in the 4-go to a horse of Sydney Waters. I can't remember what his name was. The one that Sarah told every time he ran. And then we came back and he ran a subpar race in the Vosburgh. But when I got him to Florida, for some reason, he completely came around. You know, he had tremendous breeze down there, and you know, so he was probably a little bit lucky because there was a major crash leaving the gate, and he was able to clear that, and they got a perfect trip with Cadero down on the inside and came through and beat Safely Kept, you know, right on the money. So he was kind of an interesting story. But you know, one of my favorite Breeders' Cup was Lure with the first time we ran him at Gulfstream. You know, I don't know in my life if I've ever presented a horse that looked as well as he did. And you know, we had the inside post, and I told Mike, I said, just take advantage of it. And you know, that's exactly what he did. And you know, he ran a great race, set the track record, and obviously, it was a huge thrill for us. And I'm not too sure that one, the same day rhythm one too, but the 2 year ways. But, you know, they all got stories behind them. Whether some of them are good ones and some of them are, you know, how did this happen type of story. But those were two pretty good ones.
Well, you've got War Flag in this year, and you've never been to Del Mar before. I found that astounding.
Well, I never have. I went by one time, went to Mexico when I was in Santa Anita in the late 70s.
That's a whole other story. I want to hear that story, Shug.
Well, it was one. I remember we were there for about 2 or 3 hours. I told them, get me out of here. You know, it's during Saratoga, and the Fifth family always, you know, they're there from flag fall to flag fall, and I just never did feel like that I needed to be packing my bags and telling them that I'm going to go to Del Mar for 3 or 4 days. And, you know, it's a big part of what they do and did, you know, is coming to the barn in the mornings out there. I've sent horses out there and run, but I didn't go myself. But, you know, besides being unfamiliar with surroundings and stuff, I'm looking forward to coming out there and sort of seeing what's going on and go from there. You know, I mean, I never was really a big California guy, but I really got to where I enjoyed Breeders' Cup at Santa Anita once I got the feel of things and the weather was great and, you know, everything seemed to be so convenient. You know, I always went into Jerry Hollendorfer's barn and he made it easy and he always had a room with a TV in it. And, you know, it wasn't that far a walk to the racetrack and, you know, it was a lot of fun. And I'm sure being down in Del Mar once I've been there for 24 hours and get the feel of things, it's going to be just every bit as good too.
Well, Shug, you come in with a live horse this year in War Flag, who is as honest as they come in the Filly Mare turf. 9 starts. She has 5 wins, 3 seconds, and a third. So never worse than third. Last time out, she wins the Grade 1 Flower Bowl at odds of 9-1, defeats a couple of the same horses she'll face in the Filly Mare turf. Talk to me a little bit about War Flag.
Well, you know, she came to me from France. And something had happened to her over there. She came from there to Niall Brennan's, and you know, if she's doing all right, send her to Shug. And so she was doing okay, and I got her here. You know, it took me a while not to get her ready to run, but to find a race to run her in. And so I ended up taking her down to Monmouth. I think Joe Allen was getting a little bit impatient with me, but sometimes you just got to be patient. And she beat the colts down there, beat a pretty nice colt of Karen McLaughlin's. And, you know, so we just kind of went on with the matchmaker down there. And, you know, she got a wide trip. Nick Juarez rode her, and he rode her fine. He just came back. He said, you know, horse carried me out and let the horse through on the inside, and we got to beat a half a length or something. And then, you know, she trained fine up all during Saratoga, and, you know, the Glens Falls was on our radar, and the turf up there all summer, because we didn't have any rain, was always speed favoring and speedy, and it was obviously was that day, and the horse that finished second was the horse I was worried about, Taz, because she was speed and in light. And so, you know, not everything went exactly right. It was very speed favoring. The two fillies that finished 1-2 were both forwardly placed. We made up a lot of ground, and, you know, we just didn't get there. But when I got her back here and training over this bigger racetrack, and she seemed to really thrive. And so we went over there, you know, I'm not going to say we went over there with a lot of confidence, but we went over there thinking she would run a big race, whether she was good enough or not. I didn't know. I mean, like you say, those two fillies of Chad's are pretty good. But she ran a race, and she came out of it very well, and she went to Del Mar yesterday and shipped fine. And, you know, one thing Lena, her exercise rider, reminded me of when we breezed her on the turf at Saratoga, stake horses going to run the stake to breeze on the inside of the dogs, and she really hovered around those quick turns pretty good. So, you know, I don't think that'll be a problem. I hope we're coming out of that chute, there'll be some speed sort of develop in front of her, and you know, I do think she's getting better, and we're looking forward to running her and seeing what happens.
Well, Shug, you've always been extremely generous with your time, and really appreciate you spending a little time with us here this morning on the network. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, we're going to send you a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Before I let you go, I'll just ask you, what is it about this game and this sport that makes Shug McGahee embrace the race?
Well, I mean, it's given me something to do my whole life where I can be competitive. You know, I like the competition. You know, I mean, as we all know, the game's changed, you know, quite a bit. A lot of the old guys are not around anymore, and, you know, a lot of the established stables aren't around anymore. You know, I like my relationship with really everybody that I've got, and it all kind of comes through Claiborne Farm. I mean, you know, this War Flag's mother was at Claiborne. You know, I've got a few for Andrew Rosen. They're raised at Claiborne. And obviously, Pips and Janney are raised at Claiborne. And, you know, my relationship there is very good. And, you know, I think that Seth and Walker and Bernie out there, you know, they give me the straight scoop. And you know, I know they're trying as hard as they can to raise you a good horse. And they're appreciative when run of them runs good. But, you know, the people that I'm around are really, you know, especially with the Phipps and Janney, there's just not any breeders really that breed to race anymore. And, I mean, I was out there like 2 weeks ago when I was at Keeneland, and Seth took me around with Walker, and we looked at the farm manager, Bradley, and looked at, you know, all the weanlings, and, you know, they're up on everything that's going on. And so I feel like that, you know, like over the years that through my relationships with those people, that they've tried to send me, you know, well-raised horses, and that they're not the kind of people just because they've got a good pedigree that, oh, this is going to be a real good racehorse, that they don't give anybody any false feelings. You know, they'll say, tell you whether you like them or you don't like them. And all that makes it fun for me. You know, a lot of the stuff I've trained mother and father and grandmother, and I'm dating myself, but you know, it makes for interesting times, and I think that's what I've really enjoyed. You know, and hopefully that they've had the confidence in me and had my back to where, you know, if I did make a mistake, they didn't call me out on it, and I'm sure I've made a lot of them in their minds, and so that's what's made it fun. But I like the competition, and you know, I like the chance to be able to go over there and compete, you know, in the big races on whenever they are on the weekends, and you know, hopefully in the next few years with what I've seen in the pipeline that we're going to have more opportunities in the big races than maybe we've had in the last few years, and you know, I've got confidence that we will.
Nobody better. He is Shug McGahee, ladies and gentlemen. Shug, appreciate the time, and safe travels out to Del Mar. We'll look forward to seeing you out there.
All right, well, thank you guys, and thanks for calling.
All right, all the best. Shug McGahee here on HRN. How great is he?
No, he's awesome. he's as good as it gets.
I mean, I can't remember really what I had for breakfast most mornings, and Shug goes back through the resume of every one of these horses that and we were just scratching
the
surface.
He could probably tell you what he had for breakfast
the
morning that he was going to saddle inside for information.
He remembers every detail. The guy is absolutely incredible, and that's what makes him so good. And we'll see if he can pull off a bit of an upset in the Breeders' Cup Filly Mare Turf with War Flag. And she certainly is one that you have to keep an eye on. All right, we're going to get to another break. When we come back, our friend Rusty Sharp is going to be in studio. He, of course, is the man behind biasbook.net. We'll tell you about the success that he's having with that website, and maybe we can coax him into giving you a bias horse or two. We'll see. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Hello, this is Stuart Morris. We're very fortunate this year to have three current two-year-old stake horses out of our small crop of about 65 head sold last year. He Hate Me was a very exciting horse earlier in the year, and Pacific Gale, who just won the sorority at Monmouth, is also one of our graduates from last year in good hands with John Kimmel, and we're hoping for her to have a big fall for them on the East Coast. And we're very excited to have Kelly's Humor. We've got several good horses to sell the rest of this year. We're very proud of them, and we hope to see at one of our consignments coming forward, either in Maryland and Timonium, OBS, middle of October, and then we'll see at the end of the month in October at Phase of Tipton. Hopefully you'll come out to buy your next stake course from the Stuart Morris consignment.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Nyquist keeps striding forward in the final furlong. He has taken the lead. Swipe moves up behind him toward the outside. Late run from Brody's Cause, but still fifth. It's Nyquist with the lead. Nyquist in front, chased by Swipe. Nyquist to take it.
Darley Stallion Nyquist followed up that powerful victory in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile with a win the following year in the Kentucky Derby, remaining undefeated in eight starts. And that victory in the 2015 Breeders' Cup Juvenile makes Nyquist your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Nyquist, a Kentucky Derby winner who was voted Eclipse Champion at two when he won three Grade Ones, including the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and is only the second horse ever to win the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and Kentucky Derby, joining fellow Darley Stallion Street Sense. To learn more about Nyquist and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, it's Ian Wilkes here, and you're listening to HRRN Radio.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Hallie Bell going to change lanes to the outside from fourth. She's four lengths off the lead, but moving up and hitting another gear at the top of the stretch. Alenia tries to go with her. Oh, Freedom in close quarters there, looking for running room. Can't find it. Meantime, Hallie Bell to the lead at the eighth pole and drawing away by five to Katie's Champ. Alenia, Freedom, then Jaunt, and so Charming. It is Hallie Bell and Robbie Alvarado with a strong move off the final turn. Hallie Bell to win the nightcap convincingly. It will be a multiple horse photo. It's going to be so Charming, who came out of that crowd for second, but then a multiple horse photo to separate third, fourth, and fifth.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. Don't forget, if you missed any portion of this show, head to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out the podcast at your leisure. You can also do that, Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes and on the Horse Races Now app, which is created by our good friend Kenny McPeak. You can listen there as well. And don't forget to join us next week as we kick off our Breeders' Cup coverage live from Del Mar on Monday morning, the first of four Breakfast at Breeders' Cup shows. On Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we also bring you our Breeders' Cup countdown shows presented by your Lexington area Jimmy Johns. And then, of course, all of our race coverage Friday and Saturday. You can see a complete schedule on our website, horseracingradio.net. Kurt Becker had the call of the finale this past Saturday at Keeneland. Hallie Bell winning quite easily in race number 10. Hallie Bell, one of the selections provided by our good friend Rusty Sharp, who is with BiasBook.net. He's in studio with us. We're going to visit with him right now. And Rusty, looking at the selections that you sent to me last week, you actually sent me an email.
Right.
You gave me what, I guess, six bias horses. Mm-hmm. And we'll explain what that is, by the way, for people that don't know what we're talking about. Two of them won, and Halle Bell paid like $10 to win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well done.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. What's a blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then, I guess.
And you found two of them.
That's right. So yeah, it was.
Must have been a Michigan black squirrel.
Yeah, pretty good stuff. So let's start with talking about what exactly is a bias horse, and when we use that term, what are we referring to?
Okay, great question. When I get asked by folks, you know, technically what is a bias horse, the easiest way to explain it I've found is to picture two human runners, okay? One is running on concrete, and one is running on sand. The one that is running in the sand is against the bias. So there are certain times when a racetrack will be bias favoring. Maybe the rail's good one day, or the outside's best, or maybe it's favoring speed, or maybe it's for closers. And what I do is I track that for a multitude of tracks across the country.
Sounds like a lot of work.
It is, but it's a labor of love. It really is.
Yeah.
So I enjoy it. It's not like work at all. And especially when you get the results, and sometimes you run across a nice price winner, and that makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that can separate you on big days like Breeders' Cup.
Right.
When you have some information that the average person can't see in the mm-hmm. racing form, and mm-hmm. and that's where your big prices come from. How long have you been doing this?
About 25 years.
Wow.
Yeah, a long, long time. And the first 2 years, I went to, for lack of a better term, bias book school. I paid my 2 inches until I got it right, until I found the formula. When I was looking at analyzing the charts, the proper way to do it, I finally stumbled upon it, and it's been consistent since then. But it took me a while to get it down.
Well, anything that's you know, worth doing is worth doing well, and
right.
You obviously have the insight and the knowledge and the history behind mm-hmm. this. So it really makes a lot of sense, because we've all seen days at the track where you know, the inside's golden, or
right.
or
right.
you need to close on the outside, loop the field to win, mm-hmm. and
right.
and you know, a lot of times people start talking about a bias, three favorites win in a row, they're the only speed in the race, and people say, oh, the inside speed is winning, you know, but it's not really a bias.
Exactly.
It's just the best horses winning.
Right, exactly.
And you know, just as an example of what Jude's talking about, Halle Bell, when she won the nightcap last week at Keeneland, your notes were that she put in a nice close on a turf course that was favoring front runners in her previous race.
Correct.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So obviously that was something that you took note of and said, okay, she was able to close against that bias.
Right, right.
And now when she gets onto a turf course that might be more favorable to her closing style, that's where you can make the bet, and that's how you scored last
that's
week.
That's exactly in a nutshell right there. It's the way it works. And I include all the comments with the bias horses of their last race out. And sometimes there's a horse that what I call a delayed bias, where their last race, perhaps they ran on a strip, like a horse is not a turf horse, and they just try him or her on turf. The horse runs like crap, so I'll go two races back. And maybe they caught a bias that race, two races back, and I'll note that in the notes. I'll basically say, toss out the last race. Go two races back September 3rd on Saratoga. Made the lead on a track favoring closers that day, or whatever the notes will be.
Yep.
But it's there for you, and it tells you how we actually get the bias horse. It's all set out and explained for you. It's not, of course, I always tell people that don't go to the racetrack much, and I know you guys get calls probably around every Derby day from people you probably haven't heard from forever. Because, hey, we know Rusty plays the horse. He'll see who he likes. But I always tell them, if somebody tells you they have a system that can pick the races, just run away. There's no system. It's a lot of hard work, and Jude can tell you this. He knows. It's trainer moves. It's bias notes. It's jockeys. It's distance. It's class. It's a whole bunch of things. And I like to think that the guys and the women, the men and women that work the hardest, they cash the ticket. So it's hard work coming up with a winner. But so what I've done with biasbook.net, turned this into sort of a handicapping tool, because we all have ways we like to do things. I've not spoken with Jude yet about it, but he may be a class handicapper. That's great. You can take this and incorporate there. We're not trying to change your handicapping style.
It's a tool.
Right. Yeah. We just want to help you, give you information you may not have, and go, well, I really like this horse, but why did he run so badly last time? And then you look and go, oh, well, he caught the bias. So you can draw a line through that race.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I do a lot of visual stuff, having been a trainer for 20 years and stuff. When I'm at the track, I'm watching all the horses in the race, not just the one I bet on. And, you know, I some days you're sharper than others when you're watching a race. but I bet on a horse Thursday that was a big price. She'd run good at Keeneland previously, got a big speed figure in the uh-huh. spring meeting. And now she was running yesterday. She was all the way up to 29-1 when I bet on her, and then the last minute she dropped down to 14. So somebody in the stable bet on her. She closed. She made a big move on the turn, looked like she was going to be home free, and she got bumped by another horse. I don't know if it took the wind out of her or what, but after that she just kind of fell apart. But she looked. I really thought she was going to win.
Right.
And I had a bunch of French people for Bullet Bourbon. It was the host handicapper for Bullet Bourbon, and a lot of us bet on the filly, and everybody was cheering, and then all of a sudden when she got bumped, so that was something. You know, I'll file away next time she runs. If she has a clear trip, she might improve off of that race, and that, you know, other people aren't going to know that. One of the biggest scores that I ever made was Kentucky Derby weekend when Birdtown won the Kentucky Oaks, because she had a ton of trouble at Keeneland. She might have actually been running against the bias there as well. Mm-hmm. And I thought she was an absolute cinch in the Kentucky Oaks, and I made a whole bunch of money that weekend. And so it was observation can really pay off a lot of times, and that's kind of what you do.
Yeah, I incorporate a little bit what Jude does as well, because first thing I do is I go over all the charts meticulously. I go, okay, this looks like it could be a bias day. Then I'll go back and I'll watch all the video to confirm it. Because sometimes the chart people, I mean, they're very good, but sometimes they, like Jude said, you have a bad day and they miss some stuff and go, oh, well, that horse wasn't as close as they said it was. So I'm actually confirming what I see through the charts through video. So, yeah, it is a lot of work.
How long does that process take to look at one card like that?
Okay, right now I'm doing probably 7 tracks across the country. It'll take me about 4 hours.
Wow. You do this every night?
Every day. Yeah.
Every day. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Do it every day. And,
incredible.
Takes me about 7 hours.
Yeah, incredible. And we've told people, by the way, talking with Rusty Sharp, who is the man behind biasbook.net, we told people that you may have a bias horse or two that people can look for Saturday afternoon at Keeneland and maybe even ahead to the Breeders' Cup?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what I did is I have 2 Breeders' Cup horses here that are bias horses, assuming that they go ahead and get in. Anything could happen, obviously. But I have one for Friday and one for Saturday. You want to start with those?
Yeah, let's
okay,
do it.
Okay, all right. The Juvenile Fillies Turf, race 6 on Friday, best performance. Trainer Christoph Clement, last time out in the Miss Grillo, the grade 3 up in New York, strong close, the best final quarter in the race on a turf course that was very good to speed that day. I mean, if you were close, you won that day. And this little filly, she made a strong move, and not only against the bias, but against a moderate pace on a track that was favoring speed. Now, of course, there's one little problem, a little filly named Happily. So yeah, if she comes over, I'm sure she's got 2 Group 1 wins, I believe, and Aiden O'Brien. Yeah, he's kind of good at what he does. So we have that standing in our way.
Right.
And then on Saturday,
even if people play best performance, and even if she doesn't win,
right,
she could be a good price, and she could be the horse that triggers your exactas, your trifectas, superfectas, whatever it might be.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, that's again just another tool, another way to
interpret. And a lot of times you have to kind of be fearless sometimes when you're betting bias horses, because they will have some meat on them.
It's funny. I wish we were on television right now. People could see Jude and I feverishly writing as he was talking.
Well,
we're both writing.
I'm going to use that in my notes and my analysis. Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Continue,
and then
Rusty.
On Saturday in the Juvenile, Doug O'Neill's, I hope I say this, Pied Eye Bianchi. Is that correct? Did I say that correctly?
Sure.
If not, Mr. O'Neill, I apologize.
Well, you don't speak Italians.
Yeah. By Bianchi, yeah. And the grade 1 Chandelier on that day at the Santa Anita, it was pretty much all speed. You had to be close there. And this horse had a really nice close in the center of the track on a track that was favoring speed. So that's why I like that horse.
All right.
And then at Keeneland today.
Yep.
In race 6, Awesome Boss. Now, for your HRRN listeners, if you were at the Keeneland on Sunday the 8th, you know it rained like crazy. I'm sure Jude's well aware of this. And the rail literally was a quagmire. I mean, if you took your horse down on the rail, you'd better have a snorkel to get through there. It was that bad. Well, a certain jockey who will go nameless dropped his horse down on the rail for the most entire race, especially in the stretch, and only lost by a half length on that dead rail. And I got to confess, it cost me. I had him tied up in all the exotics and everything. Mm. So I think Awesome Boss will run back, but he's probably going to be a short price. So I'll give you a long shot as well.
All right.
Race six, and here's one of these you have to be fearless to kind of make a little wager on. Conquest Classic. Last time out, made a real nice close on a track that was favoring speed. He's going to John McKee, I believe, has the mount. And he's going from, I think he came in from Arlington Park from the Poly Track. But last time he went Poly Track to Dirt at Keeneland, he ran second at high odds, beating only a length and a half. And this time he's coming in off a bias move. So there you go. All Awesome right. Boss in the sixth and Conquest Classic in the eighth.
What more can you ask for? It's biasbook.net. That's biasbook.net. And Rusty, you've been kind enough to create a special offer for all of our HRN listeners. Talk about that.
Yes, and thanks to you as well for letting us do this. If you go to the website and join, we're going to run this special probably for another 2 weeks or so. Key in discount code HRRN, all caps, and you'll get it a half price off our monthly.
Wow.
Off our monthly. So roughly it's like $12.40 a month.
Yeah.
And
huge.
I should also mention, we not only are doing, you know, Keeneland right now, but we have Belmont, we have Hawthorne, Santa Anita, Woodbine.
And you'll have all the Breeders' Cup races, or at least all the bias horses you see.
Yes, on Breeders. Yeah, there'll be other Breeders. I didn't mention, but there are other ones on Breeders' Cup Day, so...
Good.
And, of course, Breeders' Cup Day, we'll be doing all the other tracks as well if you enjoy playing in those.
All right, go there now, biasbook.net. Enter promo code HRRN in all caps and get 50% off of the products right now at biasbook.net. And, you know, heck, great tool to incorporate into your Breeders' Cup handicapping for sure. Rusty, appreciate it, my friend. Thanks for coming in.
Guys, thank you so much for having me in.
Oh, by the way, all of our guests, and Rusty, you're included in this now. Receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, which is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. And since you took the time to come in studio, we're going to give you one of these limited edition HRN Embrace the Race caps.
Very so, nice. Thanks, yes. Man.
Yeah. Black
Excellent.
And gold, of course.
Hey, these are sharp.
Yeah. So now you're a part of the team. There you go.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Going to get to another break here in just a minute, but we do want to remind you that you can join us Thanksgiving Eve here on HRN. That's Wednesday, November 22nd, as we present coverage of the Penn National Holiday Racing Festival. You can come see some of the region's top sprinters in the $200,000 Fabulous Strike, along with older horses in the $100,000 Swatera Stakes. Plus, you can catch two-year-old Pennsylvania bred fillies in the $100,000 Blue Mountain Stakes. Nominations for all of those stakes races close Wednesday, November 8th. First post at Penn National on Thanksgiving Eve is set for 6 p.m. Eastern as the event caps the 2017 Penn Gaming Racing Challenge Series. For more information on the Penn National races, all you have to do is visit HollywoodPNRC.com. All right, we're back with more. This is the Equine Forum on HRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
When it comes to picking winners at the racetrack, information is vital. And having information that your fellow players don't can lead to big payoffs. Biasbook.net is a must-have handicapping tool for all horse players. Biasbook.net does the hard work for you, identifying horses that ran with and against the bias. Now through Breeders' Cup, an exclusive offer only for HRRN listeners. Enter promo code HRRN and receive a 50% discount off your first monthly subscription at Biasbook.net, your source for the bias horse.
Undefeated in sprint competition, Eclipse champion Run Happy captured three Grade 1 victories and set blistering speed records at both Keeneland and Saratoga. In the Breeders' Cup Sprint, he dominated the world's fastest runners, going 6 furlongs in a record-breaking 108 and change. The only horse nominated for 3 Eclipse Awards, Run Happy was crowned champion male sprinter, all the while racing 100% drug-free. Champion, millionaire, record-breaker, Run Happy.
standing at Claiborne Farm.
Vest Fabrication is Kentucky's only true fabrication shop and portable welding business. Family owned and operated, Vest Fabrication has built a reputation of success in several industries, including farm and equine. Working with many of Kentucky's most prestigious farms, Vest Fabrication provides top quality equine equipment, including paddock gates, stall yoke, Dutch doors, and entrance gates, and will even repair your current equipment. Visit vestfab.com to view samples and schedule your free estimate today.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Adina Springs Stallion Point of Entry. A five-time Grade 1 winner, viewed by many to be the heir to Dinah Former's global legacy. The sire of two-year-old stakes winner Glamination in his first crop, along with the impressive filly Moonlight Rain, who defeated males in her debut. On the racetrack, Point of Entry was the first horse since Theatrical to win the New York Turf Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined 9 lengths.
Point of Entry scores to win the Man of War by 4 lengths.
Wild final furlong coming here in the Sword Dancer, and here comes Point of Entry, who's running to daylight.
And they're coming down to the finish, and Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a 5-race winning streak.
From a remarkable female family, Point of Entry's first 4 dams are Grade 1 winners and or Grade 1 producers. The heir to Dinah Former and the next global sire is Point of Entry, standing at Adina Springs. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Arrogate, the solitary three-year-old, is sweeping after him in earnest as they race well clear of Melatonin. Frosted is next from Keen Ice. Top of the stretch, California Chrome is a length in front, but he faces an uncommon opponent today. Arrogate tries hard to reel in California Chrome. California Chrome with Espinosa going for the whip is still in front. Arrogate trying his heart out. California Chrome from Arrogate, a pulsating climax to the classic. Arrogate takes the lead and wins. Arrogate beat California Chrome. They were 10 lengths clear of Keen Ice, and Opportunity was fourth. Back in fifth position would be Melatonin.
Arrogate, one of 9 previous Breeders' Cup winners, pre-entered into this year's Breeders' Cup World Championships. We will see him in action defending his title in the Breeders' Cup Classic next Saturday, and that should be a unbelievable race, and you can hear it right here exclusively on HRN Coast to Coast and worldwide. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, we are back with you in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. We will talk more Breeders' Cup, tell you what you can look forward to next week right after your Blood Horse news update and a look at the top headlines from bloodhorse.com. Cupid to stand at Ashford Stud. That's right, the Grade 1 winner Cupid, a son of Tappet, who is scheduled to make his next start in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, going to retire to Ashford Stud for the 2018 breeding season. The farm announced that on October 26th. Trained by Bob Baffert, Cupid earned a 113 equibase speed figure when he took this year's Gold Cup at Santa Anita by 3 1/4 lengths. He followed the Gold Cup with a win in the Harry F. Brubaker Stakes. He was among the best three-year-olds of 2016 as Cupid accumulated more than $1.3 million in earnings, winning the Rebel, the West Virginia Derby, and the Indiana Derby, all of those Grade 2s. And that's your Blood Horse News update for this morning. For more industry news and headlines, simply head on over to bloodhorse.com and get the news only Blood Horse can bring you. It's all at bloodhorse.com. Jude Cupid, part of a stellar Breeders' Cup, 13 races contested over 2 days. All of our coverage presented by VisitBarbados.org. We encourage everybody to visit Barbados. Hey, why not?
I know if you visit Barbados again, I might not get you back. You may not return.
It gets more likely every year. One of these days, I'm ripping up my return flight.
Next week on this program, we're going to have an interview with jockey Jalon Samuel, who won the Barbados Gold Cup this past year when we were there. You heard that race on the network. And Jalon, a native of Barbados and a really good rider, and he pulled off the win with Dorset, who won it for the second consecutive year.
Yeah, that was quite a performance, and ran down Mr. Ramsey's horses, much to his chagrin. He really wanted to win for the third straight year, but hopefully he doesn't give up the ship and keeps trying to win another one.
Yeah, his third in, what, four tries? Because he got beat the previous year, too, when Dorset beat him. So, yeah, it would be nice if Ken can notch that one off of his list. He really wants three.
Yeah, he really wants to. Who wouldn't?
Of course, we'll be there this first Saturday in March next year to bring you all that coverage once again. But looking forward to what's coming up next week, including our Breeders' Cup Countdown shows, which begin on Tuesday, all presented by your Lexington area Jimmy Johns. You'll be able to tune into those starting at 8 a.m. Pacific. That's 11 a.m. Eastern. And a listing of affiliates and information is on our website, horseracingradio.net. And don't forget, you can always stream us worldwide, wherever you might be, through our website, the live streaming. You can Bluetooth it in your car, so it's just like listening to us on the radio. You can do it on your computer, your smartphone, your laptop, whatever it might be.
Yeah, lots of ways to connect with us. And we are always so happy to hear that people do. It's great when they come up to you at the track and say, oh, we listen to you all the time.
Received a really nice note from a listener who tuned in to Jock Talk this past week with Julie Crone. Spent an hour with Jockey K-Mac, Christina McManigal, on that program. And it's up on our website now. That thoroughly enjoyed it. And you can see why.
Yeah. Well, Julie's so great anyway. And Christina, it's like old home week. Girls Jock's Room.
Yeah, good stuff. Again, that's all up for you now on our website. Penn National.
I love that place.
There I have to do for Penn National.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, let's do it.
Because we're going to be broadcasting their huge day on Thanksgiving Eve. It's Wednesday, November 22nd. It's the Holiday Racing Festival, and you'll want to come see all the region's top sprinters in the $200,000 Fabulous Strike, along with all the older horses in the $100,000 Swatera Stakes. Plus, you'll be able to catch 2-year-old Pennsylvania bred fillies in the $100,000 Blue Mountain Stakes. All the nominations for those stakes races at Penn National closing November 8th. That's Wednesday, November 8th. First post on Thanksgiving Eve is set for 6 p.m. Eastern, and the event is going to cap the 2017 Penn Racing Gaming Challenge Series, and that's a Penn Gaming Racing Challenge Series, I should say, and that's a series that's been extremely successful. You can get all the information you need on the Penn National website, which is HollywoodPNRC.com.
Penn National.
We love
Race
Penn National. That's,
course.
Penn National is a great track.
It is. It's a great place to visit, very picturesque. The grounds are beautiful. The barn area is nice. The casino's fantastic. So it's a great spot to visit, and of course, as the Big A would be ready to tell you, the Hershey factory's right down the road.
Yeah, just don't try to give him a chocolate covered strawberry. The Big A claims he's allergic to strawberries or anything that might be healthy. Vegetable related. Yeah, he does pick the chocolate off though, but he won't eat the strawberry.
TMI. Don't want to go there.
All right, we have one final break to get to. We'll do it next when we come back. It's your KTA KTOB Spotlight segment, and we'll look ahead to next week right here on the Equine Forum on HRN.
Racing fans, closing day at Santa Anita is this Sunday, so be sure to join us at the Great Race Place for world-class racing and much more this weekend. And with an 11-race card on Saturday, our main event Saturday is the Grade 2 $200,000 Twilight Derby at a mile and one-eighth on turf, and Saturday's supporting feature is the $70,000 added Comet of the Top Stakes at a flat mile on the main track. As always, we guarantee $500,000 in the late pick four and $100,000 in the pick six, and don't forget, special early first post time on Saturday is at 12:15. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interests and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I've thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Apollopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Power.
And Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Corey Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Passion.
Tip, tap, Tapazar puts his head in front. And tip, tap, Tapazar has won the sapling.
Performance.
Shari is rallying outside of Tap. They're battling for second. Tap it all. A convincing winner of the California Oaks.
Gainesway stallion Tapazar, an emerging young son of three-time champion sire Tappet, who was once again the leading sire at Keeneland September by gross and average. Tapazar was a runaway winner of the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile and hails from the female family of Tappet's champion filly, Untappable. The sire of 42 winners, including 2017 California Oaks heroine Tappet All and TDN Rising Stars, American Pastime, and Mr. Crow. Tapazar, standing at Gainesway.
Power. Passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Hi, this is Jockey John Court. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. Just 1 week remains until the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Actually, 6 days, because they kick off all the 13 championship races on Friday. And, of course, as we told you throughout the program, we'll be there to bring you that exclusive coverage. Time now for your KTA, KTOB Spotlight, presented by the KTA, KTOB. Well, Kentucky bred, it is synonymous with quality, and it's synonymous with quality, not just in Kentucky, but worldwide. In the U.S., Kentucky leads all other states combined in the number and percentage of stakes winners produced. As a matter of fact, how about this? Kentucky breds win some 70% of all graded stakes in North America. Of the 187 horses that were pre-entered for the 13 championship races in this year's Breeders' Cup, 103 of those are Kentucky breds. With 131 horses bred in the United States, Kentucky breds account for 79% of all domestic horses aiming to run in the 34th World Championships. That's simply remarkable. Truly an international event, this year's Cup has a record number of 56 foreign-bred horses in the pre-entries. Kentucky bred is quality bred. It pays to breed and race in Kentucky. You can learn more at kentuckybred.org. JT, been a fun couple of hours. We kicked it off, of course, with Stuart Morris in the first half of the program. A fun visit there. He actually took some time to look back on Silver Bullet Day and her victory in the 1998 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. Tom Robbins was with us in the first half of the program. He, of course, the executive director of the Breeders' Cup Racing Panel. Hall of Famer Shug McGahee kicked off the second half of the show with us, and just amazing. He looked back on the careers of Inside Information and Personal Ensign, and not even the whole career, just the races leading up to those Breeders' Cup victories. It was just, go back and listen, because he was incredible. And then Rusty Sharp from BiasBook.net just a few minutes ago in studio with us.
Yeah, it's been a fun show. Very interesting, informative, educational.
We'll have hopefully more of those throughout the week at Del Mar.
Oh, yeah. Well, the lead-in shows are always fun, and we're going to be on television.
Yeah, that's a scary thought.
I know. We need more wardrobe.
That is, yeah.
Your wife, Michelle, contacted me to find out how many suitcases I was taking. I didn't, you know, I'm limiting myself to two.
I have a whole suitcase just for shoes.
Yeah, okay, Imelda.
Yeah, it should be a fun week. We can't wait to get out there. Make sure you join us all week long for our coverage. It begins Monday morning at BreedersCup.com with the first Breakfast at Breeders' Cup show. That's a three-hour morning show. You can watch the video of us if you really want to. That's not really a selling point.
Live and in color.
Yeah, thanks for being with us. Thanks for voting on the poll question at HRN. Are you attending the Breeders' Cup? We want to know. You can go there and you can still vote. Make sure you do that. Oblondo de Abismo coming up next, 10 o'clock Eastern. You can stream it at HRNEnEspanol.com. For our producer, Lee Delapina, for Jude Feld, I'm Mike Pena. We'll talk to you next time, and go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.